Why is it that with sparkling water, I'm always playing guessing games with what flavor I'm drinking? Is it citrus? Is it aluminum can flavored? Not sure. Sparkling ice, though, they really mean flavor. Like in-your-face flavor. Orange mango, black raspberry. Don't even get me started on the strawberry lemonade. Kiwi strawberry slid right into my taste buds' DMs last night and let them know who's boss. No subtleties there and no sugar either. But it does have vitamins and antioxidants. Find sparkling ice at a major grocery store or club retailer near you. Sparkling ice. Anything but subtle.
Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor's going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor.com. FM to get started.
OMGZ, welcome to the Arrow After Show. It is the season finale of season 5. It's episode 20, relying on Lex. 3, Lee and you, let's go.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Please look on the bright side of life.
Wow. We got a team of Whistlers here in the house. Welcome, welcome to the Arrow After Show. As we mentioned, it is the season finale. Since that, tears are dropping. But we are so glad to have you here. So please join us, host with us. As always, hashtag ABTVArrow and join the chat. I'm your host, Ali Kona Bradford. Be sure to follow me at PoisonBeauty01 or yours truly, Ali Kona, on Instagram. But let's talk to the rest of the hosts, shall we?
I am Lex Michael. I'm all over social media at TheLexMichael, and we will all remember where we were the night that Arrow killed off its entire supporting cast in one fell swoop.
I'm holding it together just for you guys. I'm Lucretia Lyon at LACRETIALYON anywhere on the internet, since there is only one.
And I am laughing my ass off because this is the ballsiest thing I've seen since the season finale of Z Nation Season 1. I'm Katie Cullen. You can find me all over the social medias at Kiaxe. That is K-I-A-X-E-T.
All right, so let's get into it right away. The first thing I want to talk about is, hello, Manu.
Oh,
hi,
yeah,
Slade. You look dashing, and you have your marbles now. I was excited.
I was so very happy to see Manu Bennett back as Slade. There were moments in this episode, and I'm wondering if you guys felt the same thing. Every time that he was in the suit where we didn't see his face, I had a moment of, was Manu Bennett there that day?
I'm going to go with no. I was pretty sure. It's like, nah, that's a stunt double and a voiceover.
And it's mostly because of the way, and again, maybe we'll see on social media, no, it was Manu the whole time. And I'd be like, okay, then I'm dumb, I guess. But like, jury's out on that regardless. But the way he was moving in the suit felt very, it's like,
mechanical.
I'm not used to moving around in this.
I'm wearing a suit and have extremely low visibility.
I will never remove the mask to have a conversation face to face with you.
Even if I can't see.
To be fair,
I'm
though.
I'm Jay Garrick. You're welcome.
What, like, he pulls off his eye patch and suddenly his whole face changes.
It's an eye patch of plus 5 disguise.
He's been in the cell for years now. A year and a half, at least.
Oh. Except for that one time where he got out and stretched his legs for a while.
Well, I was going to say, that was season three or four. I don't remember now, but point
well,
being,
we'll let him out.
It's been at least a year since he's been out of his little box, so you could imagine that maybe he has missed a step slightly and he needs to readjust to his suit.
Maybe. Yeah. But I do like the touch of the fact that he remembered everything that happened, but he's like, yo, like, I'm back to normal, and I'm sorry, my bad, I did kill your mom, why do you trust me? You know? And at least for Oliver, I was like, well, maybe it was fate. I'm like, what kind of fate? So you killed my family, but it's cool. I kept you alive because I knew one day you would be useful to me.
Well, Moira wasn't the best person. And he's like, all right, Slade. You just killed my mom, like, in front of me and my sister, but you know, I can see where you were going, buddy. Like, she did some bad stuff.
And
you
then, know, like, Slade was also cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs at the time.
Right.
Like, we saw the effects of Mirakuru on Roy, on, like, we got a front row seat to, oh, yeah, people go violently insane when they're on this stuff. So, the insanity defense is a thing for a reason. I'm not saying, hey, it's fine, whatever, but I'm saying, yeah, he was not... He was chemically imbalanced.
And we addressed it head on immediately. One of the first things that they talk about is, well, you know, the Mirakuru has been out of my system for a long time. I'm all right. I'm on the level. And I appreciate where, in a world where this dude did kill Oliver's mom and he's coming to him for help, I appreciate his point of view being, okay, this would not be plan A. If it was up to me, this is not what I would be doing today. But since it's what I'm doing today, make me not an idiot for coming to you.
Yeah, and I liked his conversation with Thea about that because, you know, initially she sees Slade, you know, killed her.
Everybody hates Slade in this episode.
And it's just
it's
like...
It's great to see. It's just great.
And because he's done some messed up stuff. But so is everybody else here. And you're like, well, you know what? This is not what I wanted to do. But let's face it, he's not on drugs anymore. Seems all right. And he was.
He's sobered up. He's cleaned up. He's got a sponsor. Unfortunately, that sponsor probably died in the explosion because we sure did knock out that Argus Guard and then leave him there. So I'm pretty sure everyone who was unconscious or in a cage is no longer with us.
But that immediately, like, that prison on Lianyu has got to be crazy reinforced, right?
Oh, that's a good point.
Now I'm going, like, right up the top of the episode, we're doing predictions. Mm-hmm. But I'm going, like, there's in a world where we joke, but there's almost no way that this show killed its entire supporting cast in one fell swoop at the end of this episode. That'd be a great place to avoid the entire island blowing up, I would think.
We did see some of the rocks falling off of the cliff faces, though. So unless that prison is way the hell underground... You get trapped, you're not coming out for a long time. So they would have to be extremely fortunate not to have an explosion right over the prison, not to have an explosion close enough to the prison to destroy it, not to be completely buried alive or buried in when everything went shut down, and not to suffocate or starve or suffer damage in the explosion. Like, that's a lot of natural 20s to roll in a row.
Right. Even if you survive the initial explosion, there's about 30 different things that could happen to you on day one that means you die anyway.
Yeah.
But hey, really quick, I do want to make mention of Slade's son. But before we get into that conversation, is there any way we can pull up the chat? I invited everybody to come talk. I want to at least be able to see all the names going by so I can say hello, hi, and what are you doing? But going back into Slade's son, did we have a mention, because it's been so many seasons ago, 2 points. One, was he still on the Mirakuru a couple seasons ago when he debuted for, like, 2.2 seconds? I think he was still a bad guy.
That was in the middle of season 3, because I kind of ran through, okay, who was last season's villain? Who was the villain before that? What were we dealing with? That was in the middle of season 3, and that wasn't terribly long after he got the antidote. So it could have taken a dog's age for that to work out of the system. And you can stay angry at people for a good long while.
Yeah, even if he was fine, it was a situation where they weren't even going to ask him for help. They just ended up in this situation. And it's like, well, even if you're okay, dude, you killed my mom like a minute ago.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, because didn't Malcolm,
bring him go?
Yeah, and that was what I was thinking in that whole scenario. But with season 3, I forgive a lot of the stuff because they got screwed by a movie that will not be mentioned.
But ready? Let's bring a full circle. This week, we see Oliver essentially put together his own Suicide Squad, which was lovely. We got Boomerang showed up, which I should have assumed might be happening because he was on the island. Forgot about that completely.
So did I.
And I love that. Well, Chase made me a better offer. So did Chase know the prison was there? Go down.
Wait,
they're like, how much time has he spent on this island? And how does he manage to miss Oliver every time Oliver comes back between seasons to spend time on this island? Like, how far back does this Xanatos Gambit go?
Well, you know, I was just saying, it seemed like, okay, if that was the case and Chase made a better offer, did he pre-break him out.
Do you Chase mean, like, beat him to the island.
Right, pre-break him out, but then fake put him back in so Oliver can break him out and think they're on the same side?
Probably.
Yeah, and he said he talked to Slade, too, yeah.
Love so much that we bring back Digger Harkness and Digger Harkness betrays them immediately because that is exactly what Boomerang would do. And I also appreciate the idea that maybe he did go to Slade, and maybe Slade, even if he didn't tell him what he wanted to hear, I have to assume Slade probably considered it at some point. He's too smart not to.
Probably told him yes because they straight up bought the double cross. I just want to bring this up real quick. Zay Talk in chat says it's their first time in chat. Hello.
Hey. Hi, Casket Fan. Hi, Sam Jones. Who else do we got here? Kennedy. I can't see your last name. I'm so sorry. It happened so
Kennedy
fast.
Lahane, Stormy Woods. Aunt. Renji is here as usual. Hello,
Hi,
friend.
Hi. Hello, everybody. Welcome. Welcome. Mm-hmm. So great to have so many people in the chat this late or early, depending on what part of the world you're in.
Well, and we have the usual gift party from Alicia Perez in the hashtag. We have Elliot Brum. We have Lucretia, who lives there.
Yeah, mostly.
And we have Emily Y. Hello, friends. How are y'all doing?
And I have to say that my favorite line in this entire episode was, "I will feed you your eyeballs."
That was amazing.
I'm going to use that. Next time somebody takes me off, I'm going to say that.
Yeah, I loved Nyssa in this episode, actually. Her little banter with Malcolm and, like, I love how she was like, yeah, you're not her type. Like,
The sass, the epic levels of sass between those two. That's why we couldn't have them both on the same show, because the sass would just overwhelm everyone.
For sure.
That is. I like that we had the explanation between Nyssa and Talia and why they had their falling out in terms of this show. And I don't know what was Father's Hand, but obviously one left the other behind. And she's like, well, you know, you left me to deal with Father's Hand. I'm like, well, what did he do?
You don't leave your sibling in an abusive relationship if you are able to take them with you. I don't know the circumstances of Talia leaving, but it's just like, well, I'm out. And I'm never coming back for you, and I'm never going to talk to you again, and I'm just going to leave you to deal with Dad, even though he didn't want daughters and doesn't really like us, and, you know, instead of mistreating me, he's going to mistreat you instead, because as long as he has someone to mistreat, he's not going to come after me. I'm reading into this a little bit, but you don't do that to your sibling.
Yeah. And it's a little bit what we talked about lightly last week, which is when you have Ra's al Ghul for a father, I can't imagine that's a healthy situation to grow up in. It reminded me a little bit of, if you guys or if anyone listening has seen, like many, many people have now, either Guardians of the Galaxy movie, the Gamora-Nebula relationship, where it is as contentious as it is, chiefly because their father was Thanos the Mad Titan and would constantly pit the two of them together in incredibly destructive and violent ways. My assumption after last week was that Nyssa and Talia in this universe, the relationship would be pretty similar to that.
Yeah. And if it's not Dad beating up on the older sister because you're the eldest and I'm going to have to marry you off anyway to whomever's going to be my heir, well, if you don't want that, you get out of Dodge, and suddenly that burden is thrown onto your younger sister. And it's just, you don't do that to a sibling. Like, I can't imagine being in that awful, awful situation with an extremely powerful and abusive parent and then just leaving your sibling there as a replacement for you because they'll have to deal with it, but at least I won't have to. I can leave.
And right. I was just going to say, as an older sibling myself, the fact that Talia feels no guilt towards this and that was really disturbing to me. I mean, this is the evil Talia al Ghul that you see a lot of in the comics that is just, like, pretty well soulless. You're like, damn, like, even to your little sister?
It makes sense that she encouraged the separation of identity and the murdering in Oliver.
Yeah. What was I going to say? It's like, okay, so now that we've established why you're mad at me, cool. Yeah, I did kind of screw up, but hey, let's, like, fight to the death. Cool? Is that good? Yeah. Awesome. There was something else I was going to say about her, too, that I was like, a little off. Well, I will say, I don't remember what the initial thought was, but the fight scene between the two women was absolutely fantastic. I knew where I was going with this. So all this talk about, you know, you left this, that, and the third, and I don't know if there's a little bit of jealousy about the fact that eventually the heir was passed down to her, a female, which was not supposed to be, and she's like, you foolishly gave away the ring of the demon's head.
Yeah, I can't imagine that in a world where Talia gets to call all the shots for herself, I can't imagine that she would not have taken over as Demon's Head from her father. Yeah. There's got to be, even if she walked away of her own volition, there has to be some lingering bitterness that, after all of that, you had this opportunity. You were in charge of the Levi. Father didn't even like you, and you got to take over in his place, and you threw it away.
Well, you left Fubai.
Nissa was there. You leave, you give up your claim, you give up your proximity. Like, she made her decision. You can't have your cake and eat it, too.
I'm with you.
You can't have the hand and also cut it off of Merlin. Like,
With you, but Talia's a little crazy. Little crazy pants.
A little bit of sociopath.
Which again has always, more or less, always been the case in almost every version of Talia that I'm.
I regret nothing.
I just start playing my toys. I'm sorry,
his little hands.
just the one. Too.
But Talia has always been almost in spite of herself in a lot of the Talia stories that I've read that I think are the strongest. There is goodness in her. That's part of why she was able to connect with Bruce Wayne in the first place. But that streak, that nasty, vindictive, and at times megalomaniacal streak, always ends up getting the better of her.
She's still a villain. I mean, cool motive, still murder.
So you're playing with the doll. I definitely want to talk about Malcolm. You know what? I don't know why this thought just crossed my mind right now, but I thought if that doll came out in season 1,
it's an action figure.
Excuse me, thank you, buddy.
I don't have dolls.
I'm pretty sure if you asked John Barrowman, he'd be like, "I have a doll, Diva." So anyhow,
it's a figurine,
the action figurine dolly. Okay. Did that come out season 1?
No, this one actually is the newer one. I got this at Comic-Con last year, so yeah.
Well, let's just say...
I have one with a mask.
If it came out in season 1, let's say there was one. Mm-hmm. What if his hand came off? I'd be like, that's such a spoiler.
I'd say that now if you haven't seen the last couple of years.
That's so funny.
I will say if that is the newer figure, they're definitely modeling him after the look from the first couple of years because of his haircut.
Well, this is true.
Yeah. You can tell. And again, like this week that's it. Harrowman. We're not going to top that tonight. Let's go home, folks. We saw again tonight his hair is getting even more closely cropped, and I like it. It's another dapper look for John Barrowman in a career littered with dapper looks.
I know. He is just one sexy man.
Much like an island littered with body parts.
I was going to say, he doesn't have any hair right now at the moment. But yes, let's talk about
it. You put it there,
that.
I will go for it.
Yeah.
I feel like I've proven that over the past 3 years of this show.
I feel like Malcolm proved himself as the hero that I always thought he could be tonight, guys. My favorite part was, you know, when he's like, yeah, you're just so stubborn, and just pushes her out of the way, knowing that they all literally could have blown up. But
there were moments before he pushes Thea off of that landmine where it almost looks like he's cracking a smile. And maybe that was just like, it's a weird take for Barrowman, but Barrowman is too talented and precise a performer. I have to assume that was a choice. And I love that Malcolm Merlyn, in that moment, he sees what's going on. He knows exactly what he's going to do. And he's just like, I know you hate me and I know we might all die right now, but like, it's fine. Like, I got it. I'm fine. I'm going to be dad. Okay. Ha. And he's like almost ready to smile. And it's like a wonderful little piece of performance that I enjoyed a lot.
Look at my daughter. Look at the beautiful woman she grew up into. Gonna die now.
But of course, having said that, and yes, we see him take Thea's place on this landmine, and we see the explosion from a distance, but a couple of points. One, if anybody could make it out of that situation, it's Malcolm Merlyn. I think it's far more likely that Boomerang didn't make it than Merlyn didn't.
I think that's the very heavy implication, but we're making a habit of cutting away from explosions in this episode because, you know, cool cameras don't look at explosions.
No.
Right. So.
But two, if it's that age-old television rule, storytelling rule in general. If you don't see a body, they're not dead. Especially on a show like this, where even when you do see a body, they're probably going to be back next season from Earth 2.
Yeah, or, I mean, there's alternate Earths, there's doppelgangers, there is a lot of, you know, time travel. He was on that other show that we love.
That's just time travel all day, all the time.
Yeah.
Really quick, Bria Caskafan and Sam Jones are all talking about, well, gosh, everybody in the chat is talking about you know, Merlin coming back next season, and this is a spoiler, I guess, but John Barrowman was actually recently interviewed and basically alluded to the fact that he's not coming back to the Arrowverse at all.
And he did a Facebook Live tonight pretty well saying the same thing, that he won't be back next season. But as I say, he says that now, but knowing we're going to riot with no Malcolm, he should pop up somehow.
Okay, because I thought I had heard this a little while ago, and then I thought I had seen at some point another story that basically said, all right, everybody calm down. He's probably going to be back in some capacity. But if he did a chat tonight, you said, he was like, nope, sorry, guys.
I think peace, I'm out.
Well, I'll tell you guys why.
He went out with a bang.
In news and gossip.
Okay.
But, yeah.
Okay.
Or potential reason why, unless he's just able to juggle things very easily.
He can. He's the magician. I think that's part of that, right?
But I would have to
decided to mind his own business.
Yeah. I would have to hope. I'm just gonna keep going right past that. I have to hope though that even if it sounds like maybe, and we'll talk about it later in the show, but it sounds like maybe if there are other projects, if it's a scheduling thing, hopefully that means, if not a full time participant next season, that we don't rule out further participation from him because he's too. Man, the man is magic. He's too magical to keep out of the box for the duration of this universe, however long it may last.
Well, they need to make more toys because I only have like three. I mean,
yeah. What are you gonna like? How do you live with only one Malcolm Merlin action
figure?
How are you? How are you even doing it? How do you get
three?
Well, you have three.
Yeah,
that's how I was wondering. Like, how you would even
the one with mask? You know, I bought all of them.
I was gonna say, like, how do you even get out of bed with one? But like, you got three, so we got it.
Yeah. She sleeps with them surrounding her pillow. Everywhere she looks, there's Merlin. There's one hanging from the ceiling like this far from her face.
You guys have been to my house, so you know the
story. Yeah, I know. I am aware.
Everywhere.
I'm pretty sure your cat is terrified.
Yeah.
Well, you know, so, actually, Woodblock 707, if I'm reading that correctly, says that, you know, Manny Bennett said that he wasn't coming back.
He did say pretty definitively at one point, right? He was like, never again. Mm. Although,
that was like 3 years ago.
I feel like that had something to do with
Suicide Squad.
And if not Suicide Squad specifically, with the same general mandate that there are certain characters that we are now taking off the table for these shows. But clearly,
which is stupid because the shows are doing a hell of a lot better than the movies are.
You said it, I did not. But the mandate seems to have been
every time I say it. I'm not scared.
The mandate seems to have been walked back to such an extent that not only are we seeing, even if only in flashbacks or dream sequences, the appearances of characters that have been explicitly killed. We saw Amanda Waller in certain sequences. We saw Floyd Lawton make a return appearance, even though they had been killed off. We now see Deathstroke return to the fold. We even saw, like, to me,
we
the
saw
biggest
Moira tonight.
We saw Moira.
That hurt me.
But to me, this season on Supergirl, they allowed them to use Superman as a character, not for the entire season, for a handful of episodes, but in a world where, okay, we're now loosening the reins to such an extent that one of our top tier characters, one of the most iconic characters in fiction, we're not going to keep exclusive to the movies. That, to me, and maybe it's wishful thinking, is an indicator that we're backing off a little bit and we're going to let you guys play with a few more of these toys. And of course, now we see Deathstroke back, which is great.
Yeah. I want to talk a little bit about that asshole named Evelyn because she pissed me off a lot. Forgive my Japanese. It all came out at once, but she really made me angry because
we got two and the hashtag. Alicia Perez. Oh, Evelyn. She's dead now. Please say she's dead. Sucks to be you, Evelyn.
And I really appreciate Carlos. The Supernatural gif, although I'm a Dean girl, so remember that next time.
And Carlos. So there's no need to come back for Evelyn. And then, like, five smiley faces. Mm-hmm. Like, you guys. We love
first
you.
First of all, this heffa. Okay, she's put in the cage. Obviously, she thinks she's all bad, right? Because she's with Talia, and they got Oliver in this compromising position, and Boomerang just confessed that he's on their side, and they think that Slade's on their side. La, la, la. Boo, you're in a cage now. Okay, awesome. But the fact that Oliver's sitting here saying, I'll come back for you, A, B, I could have killed you, but I'm not. And each and every time her comeback was basically, you're going to be dead. You're going to die. No reason. You're going to be gone. You're like a little bratty teenager. I just want
to.
Mm.
I feel like that's all she has left to hide behind because either leaving her behind was part of the plan and she fully believes they'll come back and they won't, or she straight up knows They abandoned me. I'll double down. They'll be back. They'll be back. I'm part of the plan. I'm important.
Jonathan Dimming says the best thing to say. Evelyn deserves the fridge. Hashtag trope her. And if you don't know what the fridge is, it is a big comic book trope where they like to put women in the fridge to kill them
it's basically
Gail Simone has a whole book on it.
It's basically killing a woman in order for a man to feel pain, and it came from I want to say Green Lantern and Kyle Rayner's girlfriend.
Is that where it's from?
Yeah, yeah. That was the initial
one. I'm very familiar with the term, but I didn't know the origin of it.
Yeah, I've read that issue. I remember reading that when I was younger and being like, well, that was unnecessary. And they killed her and literally shoved her into the fridge for him to find when he got home. And it was only to make him sad and cause pain. And that happens a lot to women in various franchises. Like, the TV Tropes page for this will crash your computer if you try to read it. It's so big. So it's an issue, and I really hate to say that someone deserves the fridge. Like, does Evelyn deserve to be around more? I'd be down for getting rid of her character. But fridging someone is specifically to cause another character pain. Like, you died so that that person will feel sad. And usually it's, the girlfriend's not as important, he can always get another girlfriend, whatever. But for now, he needs to feel sad. And that's what women in fridges is, and it's pervasive and toxic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Seb Russ.
I have opinions.
Yeah, Seb Russ mentioned that, you know, it's hard to fridge a character that no one cares about. And yeah, it is sad, but like, I'm not seeing any positive comments about Evelyn, which is frustrating because Artemis is kind of a cool character in the comics and in a lot of cartoons, like Young Justice. Yeah. And it was sort of shitty how they treated her character in this, and making her just completely evil, and where we all wanted her to die.
But I will say, I would say to that. Oh, what happened?
Oh, Ken from Chicago says a woman in the fridge is from two of Kyle Rayner's girlfriends being killed and stuffed into refrigerators because one wasn't enough. Oh my God!
I will
then
say,
people wonder why comics is a failing industry.
Oh, that made me really sad. But
outdated business practices, mostly.
Well,
but
but okay, so in a world where we had a version of Black Canary on this show that there were ups and downs but didn't work for a lot of people, and now it seems like we are course correcting with a version of Black Canary that I think is a lot more in line with what people seem to say they wanted. I think there is still room for, if you want to do a version of Artemis down the line that isn't necessarily Evelyn but does honor the version of the character more people are familiar with, I think there's definitely still room to do that. And I also appreciate, even though, yes, I think there are a lot of things that some of these characters might even be justified in doing to Evelyn at this point, including leaving her to die, I appreciate that where Oliver is in this journey, if he's not going to kill Adrian Chase, of all people, the man who kidnapped and threatened to murder his son, I appreciate that his intention is also not to kill Evelyn. I do believe that if things had shaken out differently, he would have come back.
Yeah, he was genuine.
Yes.
He would have come back for all of them.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I appreciated that element of it. Yeah, it would have been nice, considering she was part of the team, to have seen that betrayal be a bigger element in the story of the back half of the season, but there were...
Yeah, she disappeared.
She did, though, but she betrayed over and over again.
But I would have liked to see... Yes, but it seems like she popped up every so often to do something deceptive and then disappeared from the narrative again completely. I would have really liked to see more from her point of view, what motivated her to betray the team, et cetera, et cetera. And again, there's still room for that. I don't assume that everyone on that island is now gone from the show. So we may still get a version of that maybe next year, maybe even later, depending on how long the show runs. But there's so many moving parts this season, and in this episode especially, that I don't begrudge them for not putting more focus on the Evelyn of it all when so much else is happening.
Well, and I think that part of her not being in the back half very much is another contract thing. Like, the renegotiation of contracts for this season really shook things up in terms of every contract that wasn't Stephen Amell's.
Sure.
And so that's why we have a lot of characters who are only in for 8 or 9 or 10 episodes, who are regulars but don't come in for the full season. Like, there's actual behind-the-scenes reasons for that, and it does affect the story. And unfortunately for Evelyn, it affected it in a very negative fashion. we could have used more of her. We could have used a little more explanation, a little more insight, and just we didn't get it.
But
and
we
that's
did,
life.
I would say we did finally get to see Renee and Dinah because they've been gone for so long, and I don't remember who it was. Maybe it was Billie Jean Girl that was tweeting me, and she was just saying, do you think that they're dead? It could have been somebody else if it wasn't you. I'm sorry. But I remember them saying, you know, I haven't seen Renee, and I haven't seen him in any of the previews for the season finale. What if he's gone? And I never really thought that he was officially gone. It was nice to see the team reunited again, and I actually really like him. Skip ahead just a little bit, but when you have the two canaries against each other, and it was
that gave us my single favorite moment of this entire episode.
Yeah, fell apart.
It wasn't that. Although I was glad. I was glad that apparently...
And they were both different frequencies.
Mm. Yes.
I appreciated that a lot.
I was going to say, I was glad that there was a moment where I was like, as meticulous as Chase has been this entire time, they really didn't pat him down and find that thing. But okay, I'm not mad, because not only did we get this wonderful fight between the two of them, my single favorite moment of tonight, and certainly the back half of the season, maybe the entire season, was Lance, Quentin, knocking out Black Siren and saying, no, that had to happen for a number of reasons.
Yeah.
That I straight up got out my chair and was just like, yes, Quentin!
Yeah, I love Lance. And in this episode, he was pretty well my favorite character, I have to say, because it was just a few moments, but every moment he killed it. Because you expected him to be affected first seeing her the last episode. But then this, he's like, screw this bitch. I mean, makes a little jib about Big Belly Burger. And then, when he hit her with the pipe and then established Dinah as Black Canary, it was like...
Yes. And he gives her the name. Yes. And in a moment where we have to move quickly, we're in the back half of the episode, we haven't even talked about the fact that it blew my mind. Chase doesn't even show up till halfway through this thing.
It felt like a boss run at the end of a video game.
Hit this
fight, move on. Hit this fight, move on. Hit this fight, move on. Location, location, location. New bad guy, new bad guy, new bad guy. Drama, and we lose a member of the party, but you keep going. It's not a bad thing, but it really felt like a boss run in the last half of Final Fantasy.
We had to do a lot of stuff pretty quick, I am certainly not mad that we didn't make a bigger moment of Quentin giving her the title of Black Canary. I love that it was there. Because even though, yes, we did move on pretty quickly, I'm still thinking about that, those couple of moments from Quentin, maybe more so than I'm thinking about any other part of this episode. I'm so very, very happy those were there, because we continue to... Quentin is a character that has been a powerful, powerful supporting player this entire series. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we give him a lot of focus and sometimes we don't. I feel like this season especially, he's been there, but every time it seems like we're bringing him into the fold in a bigger way, very quickly we move away from it. But I'm very glad that we're still building his character and we're still arcing him in the background while we're spinning all these other plates. And Paul Blackthorne just continues... to kill
it. He's
amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I have 5 minutes of screen time. I am going to make every second of that golden.
I want to get back to the fight scene, because I think everything was very fairly paired up, and it was cool to see the matchings that they made. There were so many fantastic fight scenes.
One-er they did, where they're going through everybody doing their fights.
Renee punching a ninja made me so happy. I don't know why. It was just that moment of, yes!
Do that one more time?
Yes!
I love Renee. Okay.
Yes!
So what I want to say is, going back to Slade a little bit, because at the end of this fight scene, we have the speech with Oliver and Chase, and the fact that the one person to give Oliver the speech about stop blaming yourself is his former arch enemy, and he actually listens to him. How many other people, whether it be Felicity, Diggle, whomever, quit blaming yourself, quit blaming yourself. It takes Slade Wilson to sit there and say, yo, like, you're not that far off from where I am. I get it. I've known you for a lot longer than these people have known you, and I know everything has to do with your dad, so just stop.
What's scary is you see in that moment, if you haven't seen it before, you definitely see it in that scene where Slade, as uncomfortable as it is, may have more in common with Oliver than anyone else on that island.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's also, I've known these people for years. They're my best friends. And then you kind of get that, they're my friends. They're supposed to try to make me feel better. That's what they're trying to do. And then you get it from someone who's like, I wouldn't be teaming up with you if I didn't have to. Like, we don't like each other. There's horrible blood between us. By the way, this. And you're more likely to take it straight because, He's not worried about making me feel bad. He's not worried about, like, bolstering my self-esteem. He's just kind of laying it out and hitting me in the face with it.
Right.
And sometimes you need that.
Right. Well, either way, it was a great moment, and I like that at that moment there was this shift in Oliver's attitude. So no matter what Chase was doing to try to push his buttons, because he's constantly trying so hard to get into Oliver's head, so he's like pulling everything out of his ass, if you will. And he keeps saying, you know, I have your son. Your son's dead. Do it. Kill me. Blah, blah, blah. It's you. It's you. Be that man. I'm like, you. I will be that man upside your head. How about that?
It's just, it was some straight up ghost face scenery chewing, and I really appreciated it. Because you could just see him kind of...
Yeah. I am going to, since presumably, if you haven't, guys, if you're listening to this after show and you haven't watched the episode yet, that's weird. More power to you.
What are you doing?
Spoilers. At the end of this episode, as part of his long game, Chase presumably blows his head off on that boat. I am gonna miss Josh Segarra next season.
Me too. I'm like, again, time travel, doppelgangers from other Earths. We got to get him back on the show because even Stephen Amell's like in love with him like I am. He carries around a stick with his face on it too. I'm like, you know, I thought I was the only one.
And maybe it is just because Malcolm this season was busy on Legends of Tomorrow rewriting reality with the Legion of Doom. But especially in a world where maybe we're not getting more John Barrowman next season, I feel like Arrow benefits from somebody who can bring that type of arch villainy. I feel like we don't necessarily need it every single episode. I appreciate that in a world where they're sharing a universe with The Flash and The Legends of Tomorrow and Supergirl, that relatively speaking, we do keep Arrow a little more grounded. But I miss that little bit of mustache twirling villainy every so often. If we're not going to have Malcolm, it was great that we had so much of that from Adrian Chase, especially in the back half of the season. If neither of them are around next year, I don't know what I'm going to do.
Well, I know.
We're really
going
to have to key up Vigilante.
Well, yo, that's true. We are apparently resolving that next year. We didn't resolve it. Didn't resolve it this year.
And I'll save my Vigilante predictions for predictions then, because I just thought of a good idea that they could have.
I'm very glad that they didn't resolve that this year, because we already had a ton of moving pieces. We didn't need more.
Well, I'll say the one thing about Chase, so I will be honest and say that it ticked me off that he was constantly one step ahead, and I get it, he's a villain, but at some point, like, he didn't trip up at all. And the thing about this villain versus someone like a Damian Dark, while he was genius, he had the benefit of having powers. This guy was legit human and just psychotic.
Hot.
And constantly
he's just so pretty.
I can't. So
too pretty to be fallible.
We are being rushed out, unfortunately, on the season finale until we have 5 minutes left. But we'll just wrap in saying, because I got news and gossip and we have predictions. But that last moment, my mind was blown when they took the ultimatum and they raised the stakes so high to be like, son or all of your friends. And there was just no winning. I was like, wow.
That was super dark.
Yes. And it brought everything full circle, because not only do we get to finally, our flashbacks are now fully caught up.
We didn't even get to talk about.
But to be fair, not a whole lot of ground actually covered. It was his final confrontation with Konstantin Kovar, and he ultimately prevails. R.I.P. Konstantin Kovar.
And it was super 80s action movie, starring Dolph Lundgren.
Yes. Yeah. and so now we're full circle with the flashbacks. He's coming home. He talked to Moira, which is where we saw her. But then we come full circle in an even more profound sense. We literally obliterate the island, and we find a queen and his son on a boat. It is actually very wonderful how after 5 years they managed to tie all of these things up. Now, of course, I don't believe we killed our entire supporting cast just now.
Someone in chat, and it was like 25 minutes ago, so there's no way I'm going to find it, made a comment about R.I.P. Lian Yu, you were a character all on your own.
Very true. Yeah. Very, very true.
Absolutely. Whoa.
Sorry. Oh,
no, awkward. Go.
No, this
Do
is
it.
The last thing I'm going to say, and then we got to go into news and gossip. And this is just for my ladies, not for my gentlemen. But, you know, generally I'm not into, like, hairy dudes. But at the very end, when Oliver threw on the wig and the beard and had everything pieced together, by the time he got to the boat and he was swinging like a monkey from here to there, I was like, you look really sexy.
Yeah, Anatoly does good wig work.
It takes longer than that to put on a full-on cosplay. What the hell?
Anatoly does great wig work. They look perfect. They're sexy.
It looks so much better.
Easily applicable. You just put it right on your face.
And it's good.
I'm telling you, there's a whole... Next year, we're going to get a new CWDC show, and it's all about Anatoly dressing people up, making fake wigs and beards.
He's
and stuff.
Wendy Williams' new wig guy.
I would watch an Anatoly show that's just all about the Bratva.
Yeah. That, and like we were talking about before we got on mic, the new CWDC series, They're All Dead, which is about all of the characters that died on the AU tonight in the bombing in purgatory for years and years and years. It's like DC's
on
Lost.
An island.
Let's get to news.
Plane crash.
Because I don't want to get kicked off. All right, so going to my news. Are we doing pictures first? Are we doing videos first? We're about to find out. It's magic that goes on in the engineering booth. I have no idea.
Even we don't know how the sausage is made, kids.
Why don't you just tell me?
Excuse me, I'm getting sass from the booth. Let's start with the pictures.
When do you not get sass from the booth?
Let's start with the pictures, guys. I wasn't ready for that, huh?
Lex is dead. R.I.P. Lex.
I could just mute you all and we could go home early.
Hey, oh, no, I love it.
My pictures up, gosh,
while
doggy.
We're queuing up pictures. Are we queuing up? I was going to take a minute to talk about iTunes, but it looks like pictures are ready, so let's go find in.
All right. First and foremost, coming up in 3, 2, 1. This is Stephen Amell when he's been drinking, guys. I just brought that up just as a reminder. Knocking Point, check that out over the season break. Of course, always supporting our actors and their other things that they
do. I subscribe, guys. You should, too.
Is that Barrowman as Captain Jack?
Yeah. It is, because the show is coming back.
Wait, what?
Torchwood is revived.
Yeah.
So
I missed this.
Theory.
This is news for Lex.
How the hell?
It's been a long couple of days.
I haven't seen series with his sister.
Like, Children of Earth was a thing that occurred.
Devastating.
And so I don't know how they're going to bring back Torchwood, because that was...
Well, he's been writing a continuation comic with his sister. So
yes, that I did know. I had no idea they're bringing Torchwood back. That's exciting to me.
Maybe that's why he's busy. Anyways, I'm being rushed along. Clearly, next picture is up. Charlie Hunnam wants to play Green Arrow in future DC comic movie. Not going to happen. B, that was a little bit of an exaggeration. I just had to show it anyways. But basically, Charlie Hunnam knows absolutely nothing about DC comics. He admitted that, and he says he hadn't even heard of Arrow.
Well, you know what?
That hasn't stopped J.J. Abrams from doing three Star Trek movies.
He clearly likes Star Wars a lot.
Yeah. Well, I'm actually probably the one who started that rumor, because I kept saying Charlie Hunnam should play Oliver Queen. He would be perfect in the movies, because I love Charlie Hunnam, and I could read some comic books to him if he'd like.
I like Hunnam. I think you slap a goatee on him. I think he looks right. And I think
started that a while back.
I'd like to see Hunnam get a property. I think he's actually a very talented actor, and he keeps ending up with these properties that don't necessarily give him an opportunity. Check out Lost City of Z. Everybody listening, check out Lost City of Z. He is very, very, very good in that movie. Very recent, so maybe wait a couple of months. It'll be on demand. Check it out. I would love to see Hunnam in a big property that befits his abilities.
Yeah, it's not like he can't do his research.
Well, I would too, but at the same time, on a fairness note, I just feel like Stephen Amell has dedicated so much of his time to becoming this character, getting to know this character inside and out, every single scar, every single wound. It only makes sense. It would be such an insult to not allow him the opportunity. Now, if he turned it down, cool, but come on, man.
I would love to see at some point they do a crisis type event that somehow allows them to tie the TV to the movies, because they keep saying over and over it's never going to overlap. But in a world, especially where it seems like there have been a lot of starts and stops trying to get this Flash movie off the ground, no disrespect to Ezra Miller, who I think is a phenomenal actor, and I think will probably do a very great job when we see him in Justice League. God, if you're having a hard time cracking the Flash movie, maybe look at how for 3 years you've been killing it with that character and that mythology on television. Why not give some of these people who are doing the Lord's work, why don't you give them the opportunity to do it on an even bigger stage? I do agree.
Yes. Okay, we got to get to this before we get cut. So, Katrina Law is also a singer, for those of you who did not know, and she has a beautiful voice. This is her website. Check it out. You can go to her website, and then Soundboard Fiction, I believe, is the name of her band. Let's take a listen to one of her songs. It'll just take a moment to get into the actual singing part. But when she starts singing, it's like, wow. And we can let it play while we do the
mountains. Oh, yeah, we could, like, do our... And it's very somber. It's the end of the season. Yeah. Everyone might be dead.
Okay, yeah, let's predict her as she sings. But check out her website. Download her music. It's great. Okay.
Well, my vigilante prediction is... now, I got this storyline from a soap opera. Not super original. But the real Adrian Chase is also played by Josh Segarra. And he is vigilante. And that this guy was actually just masquerading as him, as the DA. That's why nobody thought anything weird. Because they're like, who's this guy? And then, so, evil twin, Prometheus... real Adrian Chase, still Josh, vigilante.
If it keeps him on the show, oh, I won't be mad at all.
Mm-hmm. That would be incredible. I don't know how to explain it, but it would be amazing.
Katie, predictions?
Good Lord, I am actually really down for the going down to the prison cell to survive. I also think if we're going to go complete ridiculous comic book, they pushed the non-working plane out to sea and then used the canary cry to push it out further, kind of like motorboat style. So they all survived because they're smart and can think on their feet. Like, that's kind of what I want to have happened because it's so ridiculous and comic booky, but it works. And it's a good way to move something very quickly through the water.
I predict that in the first episode, it will be just an Oliver and Son episode just to leave us guessing and wondering up until the very end of the episode how they actually got off the island. I'm going to say swimming, but at the same time, I'm going to just predict a goofy... I have a video. Dang it, this is a good one. I have a goofy prediction that... ooh, I spit on this. That's sexy. I have a goofy prediction that... shut your face right now.
I didn't say anything!
Doesn't matter. I have a goof. What is Bless my goofy you. Prediction? Dang it. Oh, that mom dies and that Oliver now has custody of his child and then he and Felicity are just going to have to work it out because...
See, that is
yeah,
putting
I think
a woman
that
in the fridge.
Would happen, yeah.
Well, I'm not fridging her on purpose. Let's watch John Barrowman.
He's She's like, I'm a fridger.
Oh, he's still, so sexy. It's still putting her in the fridge, though.
No.
I mean, what? I love that there's a moderator in the back. Question. Of course it's a fucking good question. My message to gender non-conforming teens and also to anybody who is going through that, I apologize if I don't use the right words, because when you're put on the spot, it's hard to sometimes speak, but we're all in a learning process. I would say just be yourself. It's the only thing you can do is be yourself and live your truth and the life that is true to you. It may be difficult for some, but my philosophy, and I'm saying this really bluntly, and sorry for swearing, if someone in your life doesn't like you, then... Okay.
Wait, it gets better. Hold on. Just last piece. We got it.
And unfortunately, that might even be your parents. And you have to find people that you can confide in and talk to, because when you're 18, that's when you leave home and you live your life, because you live your life, not the life for your parents, if they're not with you. So it's a hard thing to hear, but that's my advice.
Okay, Via. So I just wanted to, because I love him so much, and I think that's fantastic advice, not, you know... That's all. I didn't give you a chance to predict.
No, I'm not really sure, just because I think now Arrow in both of our timelines that we cover on the show has come full circle in a lot of ways. I think we've completed a 5-year cycle. I think especially in a world where this was the backbone that this now massive DC universe on TV was built out of, I think now is a great time to reinvent. We'll see what device takes the place of the flashbacks. We'll see if it's flashbacks for another character, flash forwards, maybe a different POV on things we've already seen. Maybe no device at all takes its place and we just push on. But I'm very excited to see where it goes. The fact that the DC universe on television is this big and the possibilities feel so limitless and increasingly so, the more toys it seems like they're allowed to play with. I am so excited to see where all of these shows go, including Arrow. I'm gonna hold the Malcolm doll now.
All right. So I guess we're running out of time. I don't mean to end our show so bluntly, but apparently I have to, so I do apologize. But for those of you who've joined us all season long, or you just joined the gang,
Malcolm is shaking.
The Malcolm
fist.
Doll Bless. Appreciates it. We appreciate it so much. We've had so much fun with you guys in the chat. Thank you for joining us. Continue to tweet at us as the season ends or find us on all our social medias. I'm Ali Kona Bradford at BoysInBeauty01 on Twitter. If you want to see me on the Insta, it's yours truly, Ali Kona, with underscores in between.
I am Lex Michael. I am all over social media at TheLexMichael. If you're a fan of DC on the CW on ABTV, well, it's going to be a long several months, but we will be back next season to cover all of these wonderful shows. And until then, I am talking about Fargo every Thursday. And also, guys, that gum we all like is back in style. Twin Peaks is back on the airwaves, and we are talking about it every Sunday night here on ABTV. Please join us. We love you, and oh boy, am I excited about this one.
Mwah. Special thanks to our guests. Go!
Hey guys, I'm Lucretia Lyons. You can always find me at LACRETIALYON anywhere on the internet, since there is only one.
You can follow Tari Miller at Tari J. That's TARIJAY, I believe, across many of the social media.
Why?
Yeah, you have to do it that good.
And I am Katie Cullen. You can find me all over the social medias and on YouTube at Kiaxe. That is KIAXET. I still have shows running on Monday and Tuesday. And June 1st, we have our once monthly shows of Red vs. Blue and Steven Universe. Also, catch me Fridays on Gather Your Party on Geek and Sundry. It's a good time.
And we're going to get
Thank
together.
Thank you to everyone who has reviewed on iTunes. We love you all.
I'm so sorry. We're going to get together in the center. We're going to face you guys, and all of us are going to bid you a view. We're going to say goodbye for the next few months.
That's all, folks.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
They're all dead.
This fall on the CW.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.